And will you turn with me to Psalm 3, the psalm that we have just been singing? I'm going to read it from the New International Version, from the English Standard Version. I mean, just sung the metrical version of it. And let me, as you turn that up, let me orient you to what we're going to do this evening and over the next number of Lord's Day evenings. I don't always sleep as soundly as I should. And quite honestly, sometimes on Saturday nights, I don't sleep that well. I arrive on the Lord's Day tired. I find myself waking up in the early hours of the morning, reviewing sermons, revising points that I'm going to make, going through orders of service in my mind, thinking about conversations that I want to have in the few precious hours that we have together in the Lord's Day. And the result is that many Lord's Days I arrive at the pulpit tired. And as I shared that with the elders and with others of you, for your prayers, I discovered that I'm not alone in being awake when I'd really rather be asleep. And that prompted me to consider, what does the Bible have to say to us about the rest that God gives to His people? And how can we learn from God's Word to rest more effectively in the care that God provides for us? So we come to a series of psalms that have to do with nighttime, rest, and sleep. And we come to those psalms with the desire that the Lord will instruct our hearts so that as we live in this world and look ahead to the perfect rest of heaven, that we'll be growing in our ability to rest in godly ways. And so tonight we begin our series of sermons with Psalm 3. And I want you to listen as we read God's Word. You'll see as we read down through Psalm 3, that mysterious Hebrew word Selah that appears three times in the psalm. And we're not exactly sure what that word signifies, but it seems that it indicates that there should be a pause. In other words, the psalmist is saying to us, just don't rush on ahead. Just take a moment and think about what you've just read. So that's always a good thing for us to do. So we come to Psalm 3. We're told that it's a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And here's what the scripture says. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come now with ears inclined to hear your word, and we pray, our Father, that your blessing would indeed be upon your people. We pray that as we hear your word, that we might rejoice in the blessedness of those who have the Lord for their God. And so we pray that you would be our teacher tonight and that you would calm our restless hearts with your own peace. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, Psalms 1 and 2 form an introduction to the book of Psalms, an introduction to the Psalter. It's a great double door, and as commentator Ralph Davis points out, we enter that grand door, that grand double door of Psalms 1 and 2, and immediately we find ourselves up to our necks in trouble because we come to Psalm 3, and Psalm 3 is a psalm of someone who is surrounded by all kinds of trouble. Big trouble, numerous troubles, the kind of troubles that snatch away sleep, the kind of troubles that make it impossible to rest, the kind of troubles that cause constant insomnia. And yet, in the face of that multitude of difficulties, the psalmist in verse 5 says, I lay down and slept. And I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. Brothers and sisters, I want to know what that psalmist knows that allows him to lie down and sleep even when he's surrounded by a multitude of distractions and a whole host of things that threaten to keep him awake. And of course, the answer is that the Lord is his sustainer. And this evening, we want to see the ways in which this beleaguered psalmist, David, rests in the Lord's deliverance. And we're going to break out our psalm, really taking our cue from those three pauses, those three silas. In verses 1 and 2, we're going to observe the darkness of evening, the darkness of eventide. In verses 3 through 6, we're going to discern the support that the psalmist enjoyed and was aware of even while he was asleep. And then verses 7 and 8, we're going to see the morning of salvation, the dawning of that great light that drives away all the darkness. So first of all, we come face to face with the darkness of evening. And this, as David describes it for us in verses 1 and 2, this is the darkest of evenings. And sometimes you and I might feel defeated at the end of the day, and we arrive at the end of the day feeling absolutely exhausted. We look around and it seems like there are problems and difficulties everywhere we look. And as we number those innumerable difficulties, our minds can't rest. Our minds flit around from one to the next. What can be done about this? What about that? And our minds can't rest, and it seems that the more we think and the more preoccupied we are, the more those difficulties multiply and proliferate. The psalmist says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising up against me. The word that he uses for foes, it's the word for oppressors. He's in a stranglehold. It's the language of that would describe those who have a stranglehold on him. The language that you might use to describe the action of the boa constrictor that wraps its coils around you and threatens to stifle the life out of you. It's an oppressive host of difficulties that surrounds him on every side so that there's nowhere to turn. And as darkness begins to fall, those enemies seem to be emboldened. And that's often how it is, isn't it? We find ourselves in the darkness of evening alone, lying in our beds, and it seems that those encroaching threats and difficulties, those stifling circumstances, press in and exert their cruel grip on us. And the psalmist repeats that word many, three times, many, many, many difficulties. And the word has the idea of proliferation, of multiplying. The more he thinks about them, the more numerous they seem to be. There's a multitude of them, and it's just getting worse and worse. And in the midst of that, he cries out, O Lord, how many are my foes? And as he does that, he's starting to break the cycle. He's bringing the Lord into it. And so often we spend a lot of time trying to count those innumerable difficulties and trying to get a pushback against the stranglehold that our circumstances exert on us in a way that causes us to be forgetful of the Lord. But here's the psalmist breaking that cycle of proliferating difficulties by directing his attention to the Lord. But even at that point, we're still under attack because the doubts come creeping in, don't they? Yeah, the psalmist experiences that also. He says there in verse 2, there are many who are saying of my soul, there's no salvation for him in God. Oh yes, you might cry out to God, but God's not going to do anything. He's oblivious to what's going on. He doesn't care. And those doubts, we we need to push back against those. Those words point us to the very darkest days of David's life. You'll remember Absalom's coup, David's own son turning against him, the collapse of David's power. It seemed almost instantaneously, David's grip on power is lost, and his kingdom begins to crumble around him. His support is ebbing away. There is a surge of rebellion against his reign. So suddenly does it come, and we see David going with dragging feet and bowed head out of the city of Jerusalem. We got Shimei cursing him. Remember Shimei, who's cursing him, described in 2 Samuel 16, verse 8, and calling down curses on him. God has forfeited your kingdom. God has turned against you. There's no help for you in God. There's no help for you in God. And there is the voice of the accuser that says to David, and yes, that speaks to us as well, and says, there's no point in calling out to the Lord. The Lord's not going to help. Here's where we need to turn to the Scriptures, to allow the Scriptures to silence the voice of that doubt. Because if David walked that walk of seeming defeat and humiliation in the face of derision and scorn and innumerable enemies and great opposition and a stranglehold of his enemies, so also the Lord Jesus has walked the walk of David. Jesus also has taken that walk of shame out of the city of Jerusalem, with people jeering him, spitting on him, people who deride him, who say God is not going to be his defender. Remember the words of the jeerers around the cross as Matthew describes them to us in Matthew 27. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. Ouch! Does God even want Jesus? And yet Jesus is the one who is the bearer of our sins. He's the one who identifies with us. In the times when we feel surrounded, when we feel that we are defeated, the Lord Jesus knows exactly what it is to be surrounded by that multitude of enemies. Yes, He's the bearer of our sins. It's by his wounds that we are healed. It's through the Lord Jesus that we are restored to God's favor and have confidence that there is indeed salvation for us in God, because we are trusting in Jesus. And as the darkness falls, we remember that we're enfolded in the care of a Savior who understands the difficulties and the trials, and yes, the fears that beset us as weak and frail human beings, living in a world where there are many stifling difficulties that surround us. But here, this psalmist, during the night, there's support for him during the dark hours of the night, and it's described in verses 3 through 6. In verse 4, David says, I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. And here's David. David's being driven out of Jerusalem. He's going out into the wilderness. He's going away from Jerusalem. He's going away from Mount Zion. He's going away from the Temple Mount. He's going away from God's holy hill out into the wilderness places. And he cries out to God, and God answers from his holy hill. Those nighttime hours are hours where we feel very isolated and very alone and very solitary. As the darkness presses in and the difficulties multiply, the Lord hears. We're not alone. We're not alone. The Lord hears from his holy hill. His holy hill might seem very far removed, and no matter what the accuser might say, or no matter what the jeerers might challenge us with, the Lord hears and the Lord cares for his people. And even though David is being driven out into the wilderness, God still hears his cries as he calls out to him. Psalm 61, verse 2 says, from the ends of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. We identify with that, don't we? Our faintness of heart and our weariness. We cry out to God, and God hears. God hears from his holy hill. We're never so far away that God doesn't hear and recognize the voice of his children. And David says, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. Exhausted, yes. He lies down and sleeps, and the dawn rises, and he's still awake. He's still alive. He's safe. Why is that? Because the Lord sustained him. The Lord bore him up. The language is the idea of supporting. Here's David in his weakness, in his exhaustion, in his seeming defeat, when his human supporters have ebbed away to a mere handful. God is his supporter. God is bearing him up. And Psalm 37, verse 24 says, the Lord upholds with his hand. God is the upholder of his people. He's at the bedside of his weary, exhausted, fretful, sleepless loved ones. He's there at our bedside, as it were, holding us by the hand, the way we might calm a fretful, anxious child. David says, I lay down and slept. I woke again. The Lord sustained me. The Lord was there. Even when David was asleep, God was at work. Oh, yes, we know the backstory, don't we? Here's David in exile. Here's Absalom, his son, plotting how David is going to be utterly overthrown, completely exterminated, his army defeated and annihilated. David left with no recourse ever to reassume the throne. And even as Absalom is scheming to bring that about, remember how Hushai is countering the counsel of Ahithophel, so that as Absalom schemes, God is at work subverting Absalom's plan to destroy David and to annihilate his army. We rest, we sleep, knowing that God is at work in our circumstances. We rest knowing that all things work together for the good of those whom God has called according to his purpose. When we're exhausted, when circumstances slip beyond our control, we rest in the assurance that God sustains, that God protects, that God delivers. The psalmist says in verse 3, you, O God, are a shield about me. You are my glory. You're the lifter up of my head. As David rests and as he senses himself to be sustained by the upbearing, upholding hand of God, he says, you, O Lord, you're a shield around me. The word for shield is there are different words for shield, and you think of shields. There's the great big sort of full body shield that you can stand behind and maybe have to stand on tiptoe to be able to see over, and you know you're real safe behind that shield. And then there's the little shield that you might strap to your forearm that you use to deflect the assaults of a close-in enemy. And that's the kind of shield that David is speaking of here. You, O Lord, are a shield about me, a small shield seemingly, but yet a shield that envelops David with divine care, with divine protection. David, as he lies down in exhausted sleep, recognizing that God's hand sustains him, David is, as it were, putting on the whole armor of God. He's taking refuge, to bring it into our New Testament context, he's taking refuge behind Jesus. He's standing behind the Lord Jesus because Jesus is the one who is the defender of his people. Paul calls on us to put on the whole armor of God, to rest heavily in the Lord Jesus. And David says, God is my glory. He's the one who lifts up my head. In 2 Samuel 15, verse 30, we've got David leaving Jerusalem in defeat, his head down, his feet dragging. But now he's able to stand tall because God is his deliverer and God is the source of his glory. We put on the whole armor of God by which we resist the powers of darkness, the powers of evil. We rest in the Lord Jesus, knowing that he is the protective armor, that he is the shield around us, and we are able to stand tall, having done all, says Paul in Ephesians. Having done all, we stand. Why do we stand? We stand because Jesus is the one who is our protector. Remember the words of von Zinzendorf's hymn, Jesus, my thy blood and righteousness. My beauty are my glorious dress. Mid flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand on that great day, for who aught to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved of these I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. And the hymn writer looks forward to that day when he enters into the full triumph that is his because of what Jesus has done. He's looking forward to the great morning in which we who trust in Jesus will enjoy the fullness of the salvation that Jesus guarantees for his people. And so in verses 7 and 8, the psalmist speaks of the morning salvation. There's the darkness of evening, the support that he enjoys during the night. And then there's the morning of salvation, when the sun rises, when the shadows are dispersed. In verses 4 and 5, we've had a flashback. We're looking back. David has wakened up in this new morning where there's the dawning of hope because Absalom's plan has been subverted. And David says, yes, I cried aloud to the Lord. He answered. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. David's looking back over the deliverance that he's experienced, and that gives him confidence going forward. You see, you and I look back. We sat around the Lord's table this morning. We remember the Lord's death until he comes. We remember that Jesus has borne shame and difficulty on our behalf. We remember the deliverance that we have in Jesus. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. They fall down and do not rise. We trust in the Lord our God and stand firm. David says, you are my glory. The rich man is not to trust in his riches, the powerful man in his power, the mighty man in his might. We're to trust in our God. And our God is a delivering God. And David says, arise, O Lord. The enemies had arisen. How they'd, as David lay down to sleep, the enemies were proliferating. They were standing tall. They were rising up against him, many of them surrounding him on every side. Now, says David, arise, O Lord, because he knows that his God is a God who brings, who delivers victory. And as he says, arise, O God, he's harking back to the you remember when the Israelites were setting out day by day, crossing the wilderness. Numbers 10, verse 35 tells us that each day as they broke camp to move forward, Moses would say, arise, O Lord, go before us, let our enemies be defeated. Jesus has gone before us. He defeats our enemies. David says, arise, O Lord. The enemies rose up and seemed threatening and menacing, and God in Jesus puts them to rout. Strike them, strike our enemies, says David, on the cheek. Break the teeth of the wicked. There's a humiliating defeat. You see the striking on the cheek. That's a that's the blow of humiliation. It's the stroke of shame. The enemies are put to shame. These proud enemies, they're slapped on the cheek. Jesus has triumphed over the powers of darkness with all of their seeming invincibility and all of the braggadocio, and Jesus has put them to shame as he died on the cross. Break the teeth of the wicked, David says, draw their fangs, defang them, render them powerless, make them helpless. And this evening we rejoice that as we see Jesus risen from the grave, our enemies have been defanged. They've been put to shame. Their pretensions of invincibility have been utterly shown to be utterly baseless. Jesus has risen from the sleep of death. And because Jesus has risen from the sleep of death, we are assured that the morning is already dawning. Salvation belongs to the Lord, says David in verse 8. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. God blesses his people with the assurance that he is a protecting God who teaches us to trust in him, so that as we struggle with the fretful anxieties and the proliferation of fears and apprehensions, he gives us grace to learn how to rest in him, assured that he cares for his loved ones because Jesus is the Redeemer who gives to us the victory that otherwise would be utterly unattainable by us. And so with that, let's learn how to rest more fully, more trustingly in the care of our God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would comfort our hearts with the words of this psalm. These are words that we need to hear. These are lessons that we need to learn because we struggle with fears. We struggle with fretfulness. We get preoccupied and distracted. Our Father, I pray that you would help us to learn what it is to lie down and sleep, knowing that you are a sustainer, that you're at work, that you are our protector, that we wake again rejoicing in the fact that you defend us and continue to defend us, and that you do so because Jesus is the great conqueror in whom we are made more than conquerors. So, our Father, we pray, help us to rest in Jesus, in whose name we now pray. Amen.